Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
I learned about this in a roundabout way. Jonathan Lowe brought this to my attention. A pretty cool exhibit at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. And I'm joined this afternoon by the curator, the exhibition curator for The Lyrical Artwork of Jim Denemy. And Nicole Suckup is the curator, and she is a longtime connection with the MIA, the Minneapolis Institute of Arts, to talk about this. Hey, good afternoon, Nicole. Thank you so much for coming on here on WCCO. How are you this afternoon?
Well, thank you so much for having me, John. It is a true pleasure to talk to you about the artwork of Jim Denemy and to talk more about Mia's offering of this great exhibition. I'm doing great.
You know, the thing about this that caught my mind, my eye, is that I knew Jim Denemy, and I would say his pre-art life, before his time at the University of Minnesota, before so much of the great artwork that he put together. We kind of grew up together in that neighborhood of South Minneapolis. My younger brother was very good friends with Jim Denemy, and actually, you might find this somewhat interesting, Nicole. They used to hang sheetrock together back in the day. Only as my brother said, my brother Dan said, there's no way that he could keep up with Jim Denemy when it was time to go to work. So I just thought that was an interesting, but that's what first caught my eye. Tell me about his artwork. And first, tell me about who Jim Denemy was and how we remember him.
Well, I think you gave the perfect introduction, John. Let me tell you, Jim was an ever-present person in the Twin Cities art scene, but just around Minneapolis for most of his life. And I have to tell you, everybody has been sharing their personal stories about how they knew Jim. He probably was the most popular, and everybody just knew him. He was everybody's art uncle. He was everybody's friend from back in the day. And I first met Jim as a student at the University of Minnesota. Jim's artwork is truly unique. It is, in many respects, he was a traditional oil painter, and yet he presented his own perspective as a guy growing up in the Twin Cities, a guy growing up in Minneapolis in the 1960s, early 70s, kind of coming of age into the 80s. And he was also native. He was a native in the United States, a native in America, and unabashedly presented that perspective in his artwork.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I think that's important to point out, and we should mention this up front. Ojibwe, follower of the Anishinaabe traditions, and that's what is reflected in so much of his artwork, but not limited to that.
Absolutely not. I mean, Jim was always very clear that this is his perspective as an Anishinaabe, but does not represent all Anishinaabe or all Native artists. We have a really great work in the exhibition. It's one of the first artworks that you see if you kind of come down the long hallway at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. And it is a work called Eminent Domain. It's what we would call a monumental painting. It is larger than life size. It includes, though, his brief history of America. But instead of Mount Rushmore, he included Jimi Hendrix, Bonnie Raitt, Bob Dylan, and Elvis. And I think that kind of broad sense of humor around and not limiting the trauma, because right below the Mount Rushmore, or his interpretation of Mount Rushmore, you have images of his retelling of Wounded Knee, which is a horrible massacre in the 19th century, and repeated when AIM took over the then national park. And you really get the sense of complexity and this holding of space, but you get his sense of personality, his sense of humor that really acknowledged and hold both humor and the trauma of American history all at once.
Chatting with Nicole Suckup, who is the curator, the exhibition curator for the lyrical artwork of Jim Denamy, currently at Minneapolis Institute of Arts. How long is this going to be on display there, by the way, Nicole?
Great question. It'll run through March 24, 2024.
Okay, so there's opportunities. You can't let this go by. But if you have a connection to where we live and the people who have long been a part of this community, Jim Denamy's life was not an easy life early on. Before he discovered his talent for painting, before he, I should say, stretched his talent for painting, he had a pretty tough go of it, didn't he?
You know, he did. Jim was always very clear that his life was a product of a series of repression and policies that really did lead to genocide and cultural genocide of Native peoples. And Jim also was a product of a failed educational experiment in South Minneapolis, which led him to inquire about transitioning or maybe even going to a different high school. And his guidance counselor said no. And so Jim said, well, then I'm going to drop out. And he, as he, in his own words, said, led a life of partying and addiction. Eventually, he did become sober and got his GED and enrolled at the University of Minnesota and really took nothing for granted. I mean, he really believed one opportunity led to another if you believed in it. And so Jim, in many respects, is not what you would consider a traditional painter. He didn't graduate from art school until the age of 35.
And tell me about the application. You use the term the lyrical artwork of Jim Denamy. Where does the lyrical part of it come together for you?
For me as the curator, and also just a kid growing up in Minnesota surrounded by music, music is a way to talk about any of the arts, right? It's either on, it's lit, it's vibing. And so many of those terms are equitably applied in the visual arts. For Jim, he thought of his sketches as kind of the foundations, the songwriting, and the paint as the lyrics and the melodies that kind of came in over it. And you see that, and you also see in kind of his mid-career and his early career direct references to music. But for me, I think music and lyricism speak to something deeper, more profound, maybe more poetic. And that is truly what you see in this body of work, especially the work that he was creating right before his untimely passing in 2022.
You know, it is, and we should point out that sadly cancer took Jim's life, and this is where things ended. But now through this artwork, it lives on, and you can see it at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. You reference in the paragraph that details the exhibit the artist's dry wit. Because for people who knew him, knew exactly what that meant. I mean, he just, the things that he would come up with, the observations that Jim Denemy would make would just sometimes, you know, knock you over. Absolutely. And I remember that even as a very young man in this particular case.
Yeah, I think Minnesota has many great exports, and our sense of humor is probably one of them, and Jim is a prime example. There's a work of art in the third gallery of the exhibition. There's three galleries called Toast. And for Jim, he used Tonto and the Lone Ranger. For those who are maybe my age and younger, this was a really popular set of characters that were on radio shows and TV shows and movies. And one was a cowboy and one was a Native American. And Jim used that as a parody and also as a way to talk about Native culture versus mainstream culture. In this painting called Toast, the Lone Ranger, who is the cowboy, holds up a piece of toast that looks like it has the image of Jesus Christ on it, and he says something to that effect, and Tonto replies back, "But how's it taste?" And I think that is like, right? Like, it's so spot on. Like, how's that butter toast taste? And that kind of sense of humor, you see it in most of the works, not all of them. We were very intentional. I worked with Jim for about 2.5 years before his passing on this exhibition, and we were really thoughtful about not just presenting the most iconic and iconoclastic works that he created, but also quieter works, works that kind of played into the history of art and abstraction and color.
You know, he had by some respects, a decent career as an artist from what, like some 15 years worth, but by so many in so many respects just sadly too short of a career before he passed. But from 2007 to 2022, do you have some of the older works on display in this exhibit?
You know, so Jim had his first Minnesota Artist Exhibition Program exhibition in 2007, and so we really kept this exhibit to works after that very groundbreaking exhibition for him, his first show at MIA, if you will. However, we do own other works that were created prior to that, and several are on view in our American galleries. And so if you go to the third floor, you can spot a few hanging out up there.
Again, it is the lyrical artwork of Jim Denemy at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts, and it runs through March. What did you say? March. I forgot
March
my date.
March 24th through March. No worries. It's March 24, 2024.
Okay, so there's an opportunity to get to the Minneapolis Institute of Arts and art and see this from a guy who was born and raised in Minneapolis and lived his life there. Although, well, I shouldn't say born and raised, because I think his family originally, I want to say Chicago. Is that right, Nicole?
Close. So he was born up in Hayward on the LCO reservation, and then very quickly before the age of 5, his parents moved down to Chicago.
Okay.
And within a year, he and his mother and his family came to Minneapolis. So most of his life here in the metro and in the state, that's absolutely right.
Well, he touched a lot of people and left a lasting impression for many, many folks who knew Jim Denemy, and just a great artist. Again, the lyrical artwork of Jim Denemy, which covers so much. Nicole, thank you. I hope you get a great turnout and an ongoing turnout now through March 24th, 2024, to see this artwork. A great opportunity to see from somebody who was among us, but not necessarily one of us, for all of us. That I know probably sounds a little convoluted, but that's how I remember him. So, and I appreciate your time this afternoon here on WCCO, Nicole. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season two. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.